قائما على رأس الغلام وهو يفحص برجليه، بل حسين عليه السلام يقول: بعدا لقوم قتلوك.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about Arba'een, the 40th day after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Arba'een, just like the months of Muharram and Safar, is a fountain of spirituality. In order to talk a little bit about Arba'een and its relevance to our time and our age, we decided to humbly invite Sayyid Agha Ali Raza from Pakistan in order to speak to us a little bit about Arba'een. Let's go ahead and welcome him and begin the talk show. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Agha Ali Raza, and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
Yeah, very happy to be here. First of all, thank you for inviting me here. And inshallah, Arba'een is a very important topic.
Yes, so Sayyid, actually this is why we wanted to invite you. Arba'een, of course, a very important topic, and you know, with these COVID restrictions coming down, it seems to be like it's going to open up again. And so before the whole COVID pandemic, you know, we had at least a minimum of 25 million people from all over the world come and join, and figures up to 30 million plus were being, you know, spoken about in different news outlets. And so inshallah this year again. But talking about Arba'een, and we found that leader of Islamic Revolution, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has really pushed forth the concept of Arba'een, the gathering of Arba'een, you know, keeping Arba'een alive. And so in that context, we wanted to invite you and talk a little bit about this. I know one of the things that you were interested in is this connection of Arba'een and the Imam of our time, the 12th Imam, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. So if you'd like to talk a little bit about that, we hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The first thing that we need to consider about Islam is that all of the teachings of Islam, all of the doctrines of Islam, all of the rituals of Islam, as I said in one of my speeches, they go back to the core theme of Tawheed. So it's all one project. There is a synergy, an internal synergy between all of the aspects and components of Islam, and they all come together to push towards that final project.
Which is the project of Tawheed.
Which is the project of Tawheed. And Tawheed, in its applicative sense, is the project, is will be translated into the project of the establishment of divine authority upon the material realm, upon the material life of human beings.
The establishment of divine authority upon the material realm, upon this earth. Upon
exactly. In the words of one of our teachers, already in the existential world, in the Takwini world, you have absolute divine authority.
Of course.
So nothing can move without the decision or the irada or the intention of God. But in the terms, in the world of the human beings, where you have free will, God has desired that we accept divine authority by our own free will, by our own irada and intention. So the project of the prophets, of all the divine prophets, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, is to establish this divine authority. And that divine authority in our time is obviously the divine authority ordained onto the last Imam, Imam Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala faraju al-shahi. Now, so Arba'een being a part of those rituals as ascribed and as recommended by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, works into this project. So the first thing that we need to understand when we go to Arba'een is to understand that we are reviving monotheism, Islamic monotheism. And that is a part of the whole package.
And this is a huge responsibility. So some of us go to Arba'een thinking, you know, that instead of going on a vacation to the Bahamas, for example, why don't we do something semi-religious, go to Arba'een, you know, or maybe we take the kids so that they go and they see the harams of Hazrat Abul Fadl Abbas or Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But here you are really giving a very big, bigger picture than this, that that an individual who's going to Arba'een with the right intentions is reviving monotheism, is
absolutely
reviving Tawheed.
Absolutely.
Please continue.
Now, the interesting thing about Islamic rituals is that if you have the right intention and if you understand the philosophy, if you have done a bit of research or have done a bit of reading about how the Ahlul Bayt see these rituals, then the entire cultural power and the cultural potency of those rituals comes out. Mm-hmm. It's like Salat. So the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khamenei, he quoted one of the great scholars of the past. He said that namaz, if it is done with spiritual attention, mm-hmm. then it just makes you fly mm-hmm. towards mm-hmm. the
Mi'raj
of the moment. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if it is done with lack of attention, mm-hmm. then it gives you kasavatul qalb. It mm-hmm. makes your heart like a stone. It hardens your heart. Mm-hmm. So this is, and it is natural. Anything that has, like medicine, if it is misused, it just gives you the completely opposite effect.
Right. So it might even kill you.
It might even kill you.
This overdose and certain medications.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have something that is designed to cure you, mm-hmm. but if you misuse it, it ends up killing you. Mm-hmm. So that is the strength or the power of such things. It is in the design. So the other rituals of Islam, be it Hajj, be it, for example, fasting, be it even jihad, even the zakat and khums, all of these, they provide you the result that Allah has designed them for if your intention is sincere and if you understand what you're doing.
Yes.
So bringing this to Arba'een, if we understand what the jayegah, what the place of Arba'een is mm-hmm. in the larger picture of Islam, then we can reorient or recalibrate our intentions and understand what a great project we are a part of.
Yes.
A common pilgrim, when he goes to Ziyarah, for example, he considers himself an individual.
Right.
Whereas he's not an individual. Right. Even if he doesn't know it, he's like a droplet in the ocean. He's mm-hmm. part of the ocean now. He's yes. part of this river in Arba'een. He's part of this river, whether he likes it or not, whether he or she likes it or not. He's part of this river that is flowing towards Aba Abdullah alayhi salam, and it will circumventulate around the haram mm-hmm. of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, reviving the values that Imam Hussein alayhi salam in reality rose up for and mm. achieved
this
martyrdom.
This Tawhidi project.
Which is the Tawhidi project. Mm-hmm. And that is the interesting thing. Sometimes in our communities we see these deviations mm-hmm. where somehow people who misunderstand Islam, they like to see Imam Hussein or the A'imma or Karbala and our other rituals to be something completely other than, for example, namaz of Salat and of the other rituals.
Right.
And they fail to consider the fact that this is all one. There is unison. Just like you have unity of essence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right. you have unity in essence of all of His teachings. So all of the ayah of the Quran, they are one ayah in reality, mm-hmm. in terms of spirituality. And all of the rituals of Islam, all of the laws of Islam, they are one. And they are all mm-hmm. Tawheed, mm-hmm. like Allama Tabatabai explains this in Tafsir al-Mizan.
It's like this Nurun Wahid that
exactly.
we've heard since we were young.
Exactly.
That all of the Imams and the Holy Prophet, they are one Nur.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because it is the same project, it's the same yes. project, it's the same soul, and everything that you're doing is a part of the same project, of mm-hmm. carrying forward the same project.
It's interesting, and I know just to kind of add a point in here, because so we said this project of Tawheed, this is this project to establish the divine authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this material realm, you know? And so we talked about the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, and the Imams, and how this was their project to establish this Tawheed, this divine authority. And I don't know if we brought it up, we might have not, but even if we did, that all of the prophets of the past had this same project,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
So, and the reason was, I didn't want to forget, so Prophet Isa, you know, peace and blessings upon him, he was here to establish divine authority.
Exactly.
Prophet Musa was here to establish divine authority.
Exactly.
Prophet Ibrahim was here to establish divine authority, and eventually we see that Imam Hussein alayhi salam He gives his life in order to protect and preserve this project of Tawheed, Bismillah.
Yes. Exactly. So all of the prophets from the day of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and there's an interesting thing that Ayatollah Mir Bakri, I believe, said during this Muharram, and it is in fact a narration from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam,
yes,
that when Satan, he said that I would not bow in front of Adam, in front of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Fi wara'i Adam, behind Adam, he was seeing the five souls, the five nur, the five illuminations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Mm-hmm. So one of the imams, he says in one of the ahadith, that he says that Satan was in fact denying our authority.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Hazrat Adam, he was like the Qibla. Mm-hmm. Right, he was like the symbol of the authority that was of that Allah had ordained to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So from the very beginning, from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, the same project has been pursued, and all of the Anbiya alayhi salam, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, right down to Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were all pursuing the same project. And obviously, yes, it comes to its climax in the last prophet salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, and then it continues. The project reaches its zenith at Ghadir, because that is the guarantor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when he establishes the system of wilaya, then he says that now I've finished religion.
Right.
Now one can touch the authenticity of religion. It cannot be corrupted anymore. And then we have the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and down to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, ajallahu ta'ala farajuhu sharif, whose reappearance will finally be the culmination of practical establishment of divine authority on earth.
Sayyid, I know it seems like we're still in the introductory aspect of our discussion, but you know, questions come up, and one of the things that we really enjoy on the talk show is the fact that it's dynamic, questions back and forth, you know, it's a process of learning. I'll just open it up, right? So in the occultation of the 12th Imam, so we have this concept of the Islamic Republic or the Islamic Revolution, which was brought by Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, you know, and is being continued by Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. So this idea of the Islamic Republic, the Islamic Revolution, does this fall under this umbrella of establishing the divine authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this material realm?
Absolutely, absolutely. Before I go there, there's something that I remembered from Imam Khomeini about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of his speeches, he says that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, if he had the opportunity, if the situation was correct, if the situation had suited, he would have done the same to his opponents, the Taghut of his time, as Hazrat Musa had done to the Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the fundamental themes of pure Islam, of true Islam, is that there is no difference. The Quran says this over and over again. He says there is no difference between the prophets.
Right.
And sometimes some of our brothers, they misinterpret this because they do not have the help of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and they think that this is in, there is no difference between the spiritual positions of the, which is obviously completely erroneous, because you have so many ahadith. Even the Quran itself shows that some of the prophets were ulil azm and the other were not. So there are differences of rank. But what is the Quran?
What does it mean that
meaning? There is no difference between the project.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same project. There is no point in history where God decides, I was going a different direction till Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Now I will try a more humanitarian, a more love-based direction in Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. This doesn't happen.
Yes.
Because if you think about it, this goes back to Ma'azallah, God being incorrect, and him not being able to see the circumstances of the future in the correct light.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not trial and error when it comes to God. So it's the same theme. And I've seen this in many, sometimes in the Judeo-Christian tradition, things are explained by a changing of gear by God, mm-hmm. being very canonical when it mm-hmm. comes to the Abrahamic, the earlier Abrahamic religions up till Moses, and then becoming more love-based mm-hmm. and more compassion-based when it comes mm-hmm. to Hazrat Isa. And this is against the whole idea of the excellence, the absolute excellence of God, mm-hmm. the absolute mm-hmm. perfection of God. So if any of the prophets had met the same situation that Imam Hussein had met, they would have done the same.
Yes.
So sometimes there's this dichotomy that some of the people create between Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein.
Right.
And Imam Khamenei, he explains this very well in his works. He says that if the same situation had existed for Imam Hassan, mm-hmm. he would have done the same.
Right.
If the same situation had existed for Imam Ali, he would have done the same. In fact, if the same situation had existed for the Holy Prophet and the other prophets of, because all of the prophets are prophets of Islam.
Of Islam, yes.
They would have done the same.
Right.
And so this is an interesting theme that we have. So coming back to your question.
And the reason I had asked the question is because many people, they know this is a political scheme or this was all to made to power. And so because our spiritual journey in the talk show was heading towards this, and I this is why I wanted to bring this question in there, that no, this is not a political scam.
Excellent.
This is not something that the Iranian nation, in order to gain power, or some of the foolish things that are said.
So if we connect this to our theme, since the project is the same project,
yes,
right? And the Ahl Bayt alayhim as-salam, themselves, they have declared that the ulama are our inheritors.
Inheritors, yes.
So the fuqaha all throughout the ages, from Sahib al-Qafi, from Qulayni, mm-hmm. right down to the current day, they are the inheritors of the authority and of the responsibilities of the Ahl al-Bayt alayhim as-salam during their occultation. So they are pursuing the same project. So if you see, during the time of Imam Khomeini, Rizwanullah ta'ala alayh, he saw the opportunity, he saw that the grounds were available to bring about this change.
Yes.
And again, I would reiterate that if, for example, Sheikh Tusi had found the same situation, he would have done the same. If even Qulayni had found the same situation, he would have done the same.
Yes.
Because the in terms of the understanding of religion, in terms of the internal monotheism of religion, the same, the unity of theme, the unity of purpose that religion has, it's not changing.
Right.
It's not like sometimes the thing, the same deviation that we have, that people promote in terms of to the prophets,
right.
or the A'imma, it is done about the esteemed scholars as well. This scholar, he is a firebrand scholar. He is a hawk, right? This scholar is a dove. He is a peaceful scholar. And there's this proverb in Farsi. It says, "Kafir hamero askiye khud mi bandarat." That a heretic or a person of disbelief thinks that everyone is like him. Compares to his own psychology, right? So now you have people outside the parameters of Islamic culture. They look inside. And they're trying to interpret the phenomena of the Islamic revolution in terms of their own materialistic mindsets.
Right.
So they're like looking for doves and hawks, and they're looking for internal conflict, and they're looking for this conspiracy of this materialistic in reality a carnal intention behind the whole.
Right.
But this is all this is a reflection of their own souls.
Right.
And I'm talking about the I'm not talking about the common people, because the common people, they are misguided by the media, and sometimes
of course,
but the people who are creating these narratives,
right,
it is a reflection of their own soul. So the corruption within becomes
manifested
in their interpretation of events that happen throughout history. And the same is true for the sciences as well. One of the I'm going a bit into a footnote here, but when we talk about Islamic sciences or the Islamization of sciences, we're talking about this thing. When someone is essentially corrupt, has raised himself, the society has raised a person with this inherent corruption ingrained into him or her, then the knowledge that this person will create, especially in social sciences, will be painted with the same sort of corruption. So you see, for example,
it's like the Sigmund Freuds and the Hegels and the Dantes and all these guys.
Essentum, essentum. Mm-hmm. So you see literature in the modern world, it is, or any form of art, it is a corrupt form of art. Yeah. When you look at the sciences, you see that the data that is collected is obviously collected by a statistical methodology, but when the results are
interpreted, created,
they are in a complete philosophical sense according to their own worldviews. Mm-hmm. So,
but here the we can say that the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic Republic is a continuation
of
this project, you know. Because a lot of people they don't see it that. And I wanted you just to reaffirm that
absolutely
this is
the Islamic Revolution is not only a continuation of the same process. It is in fact a very important stepping stone towards the reappearance of Imam Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala farajah sharif. Mm-hmm. Because let's talk about it rationally, logically.
Right.
If we, and I'm not talking about some theological discussion with some very complicated arguments. Just logically, Imam Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, his reappearance, his uprising will be a completely political uprising. There is consensus within the Ummah. He's not going to come back and start going village to village like propagating Islam all over again. It's not a cultural revolution in the very specialized term, meaning of the term.
Yes.
It is a political revolution. It is an armed revolution. Now let's be very rational. If a person was to stand up today and say that Ana al-Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, would he not need some forces on the ground? Would
of
he
course.
Not need a societal system that supports him? Even when the Prophet went from Makkah to Medina, first he created a paigah, a stronghold there, by sending some of his companions, and then he got bay'ah. He got this pledge of allegiance from the people of Medina, and then he moved to Medina and created his government there.
Right.
Imam Mahdi will follow the way of his grandfather and of his father, obviously. So he needs this groundwork. And in fact, one of the reasons of the occultation is the fact that we have not yet reached that universal maturity within the community of believers to understand that we need to create these strongholds everywhere. We need to have these strongholds which support the system and the uprising of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Which is on a global level.
Which is on a global level. Mm-hmm. And another thing that people need to understand is, many people believe that Imam Mahdi's uprising will be a miraculous affair. It will be, maybe this is because so much Hollywood that people watch, that he would come and certainly all of a sudden God will send down his angels and so on and so forth. If God had wanted to do that, he would have done that with the last 11 Imams.
Right.
Why delay something that has to be done by force anyway?
Which is the project of Tawheed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You see, if the whole idea, and the Quran says this, that God has declared this in the Quran, that I am not going to be forcing my will upon you. Right? Mm-hmm. If God wanted to force his will upon the people, if he wanted people to come towards faith by force, he would have done this right from the beginning.
Sure.
See?
Yeah.
And on the other hand, if we say that no, he didn't do this, he gave you time and he was giving you a kind of an opportunity to come by yourself, and then suddenly he changes gear, then you see it is the same deviation that we had talked about earlier.
Earlier, right.
God doesn't go by trial and error. And
right.
So he could have done this from the very beginning. So it will be a natural uprising.
Right.
It will be a natural uprising where, and obviously there is help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is not something like a Hollywood style miraculous activity that everyone, like all of a sudden all of the weapons of the ta'ud, they disappear there's like their flowers sprouting out everywhere and everyone becomes Muslim. It won't happen like that. We have the narrations there. We will have wars, we will have battles, and bloody battles as well. So Imam Mahdi, for his reappearance, he needs this groundwork. And then in your narrations, in the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt, we have talk about Sayyid al-Khurasani, we have talk about Sayyid al-Hasani, we have talk about Sayyid al-Yamani. And we already know that there will be uprisings before the uprising of Imam Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. So Imam Khomeini, when he stands up And in fact, we have a narration that is, many of the teachers believe that it relates to Imam Khomeini as well, that from Imam Kazim alayhi salam, that a person will rise in Qom and people will gravitate towards him like pieces of iron. Steel towards mm-hmm. a magnet.
To a magnet. Mm-hmm.
And then they will be so steadfast that they will not falter, they will not fall before the Taghut.
Mm.
So anyway, so the whole project of the Islamic revolution is a natural continuation of the project of Tawheed.
Okay.
Of the establishment of divine authority, and it is a very important stepping stone towards
the appearance of.
Now, if someone wasn't able to understand this 40 years ago, because obviously, let us.
I mean, there was confusion at that time, you know, revolution and something.
Exactly, and so much media propaganda. But now,
in 40
years later, you see, what has the Islamic revolution done? Has it promoted Iranianism anywhere in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Have we seen, for example, an export of Iranian culture in the very specific meaning of the word?
Right, no. Right. No, not at all.
What has the Islamic revolution done on a global scale?
Mm-hmm.
There have been victories after victories internally, in terms of the economy, in terms of culture, in terms of politics and so on and so forth. But on the global scale, in the global arena, we have seen people voluntarily re-establish the values of the establish the values of the revolution and the values of resistance. So we have pockets of resistance. We had small pockets of resistance in Lebanon, which has now grown into this mega movement which inspires all of the Muslims of the world, whether
they
accept it or not. And then we have pockets of
there's pockets of resistance in Yemen and
in Yemen, in Bahrain,
even
in Iraq,
Syria,
and in Syria you saw that the defense of the haram of Lady Zainab salamullah alayh, that expanded to such a degree that the so-called superpowers of our age had to go on the back foot.
Yes.
And they failed. So Iran, this in the material sense, this small power, regional power, was able to defend Syria, was able to defend the haram of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam,
mm-hmm.
and was able to defeat a extremely important project of the Taghut.
Mm-hmm. This now, Daesh.
Daesh, exactly. Yeah. Now you have, alhamdulillah, all of our viewers, Hatman, they have, because people are so active on social mm-hmm. media mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. they must have seen this document, which is like from the year 2000, I think, or maybe later, which is one of the secret documents, which was later on declassified. And it says there that one of the proposals, because they always leave this space for deniability. But at least one of the proposals was to establish a Salafite principality in northern Syria and Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't
a small thing. It was very calculated, project,
exactly.
Billions of dollars put into it.
Exactly.
And if I add here, so that the Islamic Republic, if it is victorious, because it is trying to follow this project of
excellent,
Tawheed
excellent,
as
exactly.
good and as well as it can
exactly.
to the best of its ability.
Exactly. As the leader said, he once said that we have nothing to worry about, because as Hazrat Musa says in the Quran, Inna ma'i Rabbi, my God is with me. So when you see a small country that had no local produce 40 years ago,
which
was importing eggs, chicken eggs, it was importing chicken eggs.
Right.
It could not prepare, it could not produce tissue paper. If you see this country rise to within 40 years, 40 years is nothing,
it's nothing.
In the age of nations,
yes.
right?
It's nothing.
It rises to a degree of scientific excellence, a degree of economic resistance. 40 years of sanctions, and if such sanctions were to be levied upon Britain, for example, which people believe to be such a economic
power, superhouse,
it would fall to its knees.
Yeah, of
course. Fall to its knees. So you see, without going back on their values, without going back on their slogans, without compromising upon their stance, especially on Palestine. Is a country which is the majority of the population is Ahlul Sunnah.
Right. Right.
Our brethren of Ahlul Sunnah. In fact, if this revolution was a sectarian revolution, it would have made sense for
to not support the Palestinians.
To not support Palestine. And just by not supporting Palestine, all of the sanctions would have vanished.
Right.
Because it, de facto, it would have meant accepting Israel. Right?
Yes.
And Iran would have become like many of these Arab states, like this.
Awash with money.
Awash with money and investment.
Luxury.
And exactly.
Corruption and facade.
People need to ask themselves, why is a country going out of its way, a leadership going out of its way to support an issue which is, in the material sense, completely detrimental to its own vested, its own specific interests?
Self-interest, yeah.
It is Islam.
Vested interest.
It is Islam.
It's the project of Tawheed.
It is the project of Tawheed. It is the project of the fiqh and the jurisprudence of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. The fact that Imam Khomeini says that the only thing stopping dictatorship is Wilayat al-Faqih is because Wilayat al-Faqih is governance according to the rules and regulations and laws of Allah. And the only person who can do this effectively is a person who has developed himself into that character that he is completely an abd in front of God. And those are, alhamdulillah, all of our fuqaha are like that, some more, some less. But so the faqih who is in charge of an Islamic country, of an Islamic system, he is not afraid of anything. He implements the laws of God, and one of the laws of God is this, fighting the taghut. So like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, that if the entirety of humanity is in one valley and you're in the other, haqq is with you. And that is the same mentality that our fuqaha have. They don't care. Shahid Bakir al-Sadr, he was left alone in his house. Did he care? Did he change his stances? Yeah. Or Shahid Bakir al-Hakim or the other martyrs from amongst our fuqaha? None of them. They don't care what the people think, because people might be swayed by propaganda, might be swayed by their own carnal instincts and their carnal desires. But the faqih who is running the Islamic system, he stays true like Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because they have learnt from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Mm. He stays true with the help of Imam Zaman, ajallahu ta'ala farajah sharif, to that path that he has chosen, the path of servitude towards God. Mm. And servitude towards God is the other side of Tawheed.
Mm.
So if you see the Islamic Republic as, let me put in this metaphor, if the Islamic Republic of Iran was a person, if you were to imagine this, that would have been and compared to the other systems of the world, the other nations of the world, this would have been the most perfect servant of Allah in amongst the different systems of the world.
Yes, subhanAllah.
Mm. Giving the sacrifices that are due when it comes to servitude. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says in one of the narrations that when someone loves me, the tribulations of the world gather around him.
Yes.
Which country is of that sort? Which country has that character right now? The tribulations of the world are gathering around Iran, trying to defeat Iran.
Mm.
So the if you want to like imagine the Islamic Republic, the Islamic Revolution as a person, this would be
the best abd, the best servant.
Exactly, the Malik Ashtar of our time, standing firm.
Sayyid, you know, I know we've definitely run over on time. There was so much more we wanted to talk about with Arbaeen and it's linked to Imam al-Mahdi. I think we did in various small pieces. We weren't able to give an overall, but that just gives us the excuse to invite you to another Islamic Pulse talk show, so we can continue that that theme of Arbaeen and this project of Tawheed, which Arbaeen, of course, is an integral part of. We want to thank you for joining us on the talk show. And inshallah, we hope to see you on another talk show talking about this. May Allah bless you and yours, inshallah. And dear viewers, thank you. There is so much more to talk about, but we had to cut it short for the time being. Of course, Arbaeen, this 40th day, commemorating the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his family members and his companions. And we talked about this project of Tawheed, and how this has been the project of Allah, This is Allah's project to establish His divine authority upon the earth, and how this journey continues to this very day, inshallah, until another episode where we again talk about Arba'een. Fi amanillah, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.